All right, we shall continue to the next verse, which correlates, it continues the theme. Dharmasya hi apavagyasya narthortha payopakalpate narthasya dharmaikantasya kamo labhaya hi smritaha. I will beg your indulgence if you could please repeat. All occupational engagements are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. They should never be performed for material gain. Furthermore, according to sages, one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service should never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification. So now Suta Goswami has gone to a higher level. Again, two parts. So the first part applies to everyone. Again, the same subject, occupational engagements, which we already discussed, but for those who have come a little late, occupational engagements means, regardless of who you are, as a human being, you have duties. No one is excused. As soon as you take a human birth, you have duties. And they're not self-created. Just as you cannot go to the judge and say, well, according to my law, there's nothing wrong in driving 100 miles an hour. That doesn't work. There is already traffic laws. So in the same way, there are laws of God, laws of nature, by which we will all be judged. There is no such thing as this law, that. There's only one law. The laws of nature, the laws of God. And again, they're not man-made. As we all know, man-made laws are very defective. That's why there are so many politicians and lawyers and everything gets changed every 4 years. No. Standard law, the laws of nature, the laws of God are always there. So everyone has occupational duties, engagements. But this line completes the previous verse. In the previous verse, it was stated that all these occupational engagements should make you develop a taste for hearing about God, right? So now, the other way to look at it, are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. So there you have, if A equals B and B equals C, A equals C. Basic algebra. So, if you become attracted to the message of God, you will ultimately get ultimate liberation. And notice how Prabhupada, ultimate, because you can make a case that there are different kinds of liberation, but he's saying ultimate. Ultimate liberation means permanent liberation. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, having gone, you don't come back. Permanent liberation. You don't come back again to this material world. As opposed to, say, you go to the heavenly planets, which is clearly stated in Bhagavad Gita. From the heavenly planets, you must come down. Just like you go on vacations. But when the money runs out, gotta come back and go back to work. There is no permanent vacation. But there is permanent liberation in the kingdom of God. So, if you perform your occupational engagements and you become attracted to the message of God, you should get ultimate liberation. Now, the next half of the verse applies to someone like me, because he says, one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service. So someone like me, yes, I am engaged in the ultimate occupational service. Whether it considered bhakti yoga or according to Bhagavad Gita, we hear Krishna say, there's no servant more dear to me than he, than one who preaches the message of Bhagavad Gita. So that's what I do. So this second half of the verse is for me. One who's engaged in the ultimate occupational service should never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification. Now, material gain comes. There's nothing wrong with that. But I am prohibited to use it for illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, gambling, overeating, overcollect. In other words, there are restrictions for someone like me. It's not that I can do whatever I like. No. I am forbidden to cultivate sense gratification with that material gain. The best example will be Prabhupada. Prabhupada received lots of money. But we don't hear Prabhupada ordering 95 Rolls Royces, and you know what I'm talking about. Okay? And we don't hear an incident of Prabhupada staying in 5-star hotels. Where did Prabhupada stay? In America, all over the world. He stayed in his temples. And many of those temples were very meager facilities. And in the early days, there are pictures, and I know, in the early days of the movement, Prabhupada was also just like one of the regular devotees, waiting in line to use the bathroom. Okay? Sleeping, very simple. In Radha Damodar Temple, Prabhupada, you see pictures of Prabhupada's room in on the Radha Damodar Temple in Vrindavan. There's no TV there. And there's no cushy bed. So the reason why us Westerners were attracted to Prabhupada is because we saw that he practiced what he preached. He was the living example. There was no funny stuff going on. Yes, as his disciples, we wanted to give him all comforts. And there are the incidents of Prabhupada in the last days going to Rishikesh, and he was outdoing his own disciples. They were there, I think, in January for the Kumbh Mela. You know what it's like. It's cold, right? And you're out there with all the other sadhus. Shall we continue? You want to hear more on Srimad Bhagavatam? If you're ready, say Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. The theme continues. Kamasya Nendriya Pritir Labho jiveta yavata jivasya tatva jigyasa narto yascheha karmabhi. Please, if you be so kind as to respond. Life's desires should never be directed toward sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life. or self-preservation. Since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth, nothing else should be the goal of one's works. So this is the last verse of this theme. The next verse, we go into a new theme which is introduced in this verse. So, next thing that Sutta Goswami says, life's desires. So, desire is part and parcel of the soul. That's the first thing. There is no question of becoming desireless. That is impossible because you are a living soul. In the Buddhist philosophy, they don't believe in God or the soul. So they can try to pretend that you can become desireless, because their ultimate philosophy is nothing, void, which I would never join that philosophy. No way. Makes no sense. So, desire has to be there because you're alive. We even say here in America, the will to live. Because that's part of the soul. Once you stop desiring, you don't exist. In fact, if Krishna decided not to have us exist, we would no longer exist because we emanate from Him. Don't worry, it's not going to happen. Don't worry. Oh, Krishna, please don't stop thinking it. No. But I'm just trying to illustrate a point. Our existence is like the sun ray and the sun. Do they exist simultaneously? Yes. Similarly, the soul and God exist simultaneously. I've told the story many times. Many, many years ago, I did a program in someone's house. And the young 7-8-year-old child said, So who created God? And I said, No. It doesn't work that way. So I had to explain. No, by definition, God always existed. But according to Bhagavad Gita, so also you. Second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 12th verse, Natve Vaham Jatu Nasam Natvam Nemi Janadipaha Nachaibana Bhavishyama Sarve Vayam Atahapparaham. Krishna says, never was there a time when I did not exist. He has to say that He's God. By definition, God always existed. But then He says, Arjuna, you and all these kings on the battlefield, they also always existed, exist now, and Bhavishyama. There is even one Purana, Bhavishya Purana, the future. So your individuality, your existence is there. So as I like to make a joke, get used to yourself because you're not going away. Not the one you see in the mirror. Thank God. Oh, thank God. When you're young and pretty and handsome, you like what you see. But when you turn, I just turned 65 on Wednesday. So when you turn 65, you look in the mirror. Oh, ooh. You don't stand in front of the mirror too long. I don't know how my wife stayed with me all these years. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, you are eternal, past, present, and future. So that once you understand that, it changes your whole worldview. That you always existed and will be like that. So, because we're living souls, we will always have desire. So desire itself is not good or bad. Just like I like to tell the story of one Sai Baba follower. He once tried to trick me. Swamiji, is money good or evil? And I said, oh, come on, give me something hard. Money is neither good nor evil. It's what you do with it that determines whether it's good or evil. Not the money itself. What are you doing with the money? So the same way with desires. Desires are not good or bad. It's what is the nature of that. With that desire, what is your intention? So here, Sutta Goswami says, life's desires. He knows that you have to have desires, but should not be directed towards sense gratification. Animals and lower, that's all they know is sense gratification. We were talking in the beginning. Their nature, the way they are designed, and the level of consciousness that they have been granted, all they know is sense gratification. That's how they survive, is by sense gratification. Sri Sri Radha Raman Bhagavan Ki Jai. That's all they know is sense gratification. So human being is supposed to be above the animals. If the animals, the highest an animal can do is act for sense gratification, if a human being, all the human being does is sense gratification, then the Vedas say, Dwi Pada Pashu. You're a human being? No, you're a two-legged animal. Human being is something beyond that. Therefore, it says one should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation. Yes, healthy life. In other words, eat, but not live to eat. But eat to live. I know, everybody's saying, so why don't you practice what you preach, Prabhuji? Yes. I have a problem with prasad. But the idea is there. Healthy life. Self-preservation. Yes. It's just like I've said many times over the years. If somebody is coming to attack, we don't go like this. Oh yes, please kill me. No, you have the duty to defend yourself, to protect. We're not the aggressor. We're not the aggressor. But if we're attacked, if somebody was to come right now and attack the temple, I have to get up, defend the deities and defend the devotees. That's my duty. That's my job. Self-preservation, all of us. Now, this next statement, a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth. Now he introduces the next subject matter. This is the same thing because Bhagavatam is an explanation of the Vedanta Sutra by the same author. That's another meaning of Bhagavatam. Vedanta Sutra is for the topmost Sanskrit scholars. I've tried. But doesn't matter. The author wrote his own commentary. What is that commentary? Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's only natural in the second chapter we're going to get this statement. Inquiry about the absolute truth, which is the first aphorism of the Vedanta Sutra. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. That's the first aphorism. And which I always like to make a point. The Vedanta Sutra opens with the word therefore. Huh? Therefore, wait, he didn't say anything. That's because Vedanta Sutra assumes that you already went through 108 Upanishads. Anybody gone through 108 Upanishads? You could say yes. How many of you understand Bhagavad Gita? Nobody? Come on. Yes. Bhagavad Gita is called what kind of Upanishad? Gita-upanishad. If you know Bhagavad Gita, you know the Upanishads. Okay? It's a summary. It's an essence of all of them. So, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Therefore, Vyasadeva opens. Human life means this. Inquiry into the absolute truth. God. Which is beyond this material world. That is the real ultimate duty of a human being. This is the background of how everyone should be. Hari Bol, my God brother, may Krishna bless. We are meant to be spending our lives inquiring into the absolute truth. And then, as the final statement, Sutta Goswami says, nothing else should be the goal of one's works. So, we're all householders. We have so many obligations and duties and commitments, but please keep in mind that somehow or other, amidst all of this, that inquiry into the absolute truth, don't forget about it. And don't think, oh, I'll do it when I'm old. You are already old. See, that's Maya. Maya says, oh, we can do that when you're old. And I told you the story, but for those who never heard, one time in Panama, I visited one shop, and there was this old man, and when he saw me, he decided he wanted to confess his sins. So he said, Prabhuji, I like to drink, I like to go to the club, I like to watch naked dancing girls. I said, oh my God. I said, when are you going to take up spiritual life? He said, when I'm old. I said, how old are you? I'm 70. So I told him, you're 70 and you don't think you're old? That's Maya. I'll do it when I'm old. No, old means now. So next month when I come, the verse will be the definition of the absolute truth. So don't miss next month's class. Hari Haraye Namaha. Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Yadavaya Namaha. Gopala Govindarama Shri Madhusudana. Gopala Govindarama Shri Madhusudana. Hari Haraye Namaha. Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Gopala Govindaram Shri Madhusudana. Gopala Govindaram Shri Madhusudana. Hari Haraye Namaha. Hari Haraye Namaha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hari Haraye Namaha. Hari Haraye Namaha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hari Haraye Namaha. Hari Haraye Namaha. Haraye Namaha. Hari Haraye Namaha. Hari Haraye Namaha. Srila Prabhupada ke.